This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester. Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Happy Valentine's Day. 5 minutes after the hour, it's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Thursday, February 14th, 2019. This is the day Monsignor Stuart Sweatland stops by, so we do our Morning Air edition of Go Ask Your Father, answering your questions of faith. Also, Glenn's got a brand new story corner. That's all coming up this morning and much more here on Morning Air. But as we begin this brand new day, we begin by offering it to the Lord. We invite you to join us now for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation for sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are on Valentine's Day, and of course there is that secular view, that hallmark view on Valentine's Day where it's all about love. But what about love in the context of Christian compassion towards others? Not just romantic love, but true love as it applies to our brothers and sisters. That's the tough part, isn't it? Father Timothy Graff is going to help us with that this morning, the director of the Social Concerns Office in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father Graff, welcome back.
Good morning, John, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day. How do you live the love of Christ when you don't feel that love around you? You're in an environment where you may be giving the love, but it's not coming back.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things that we could look at with a question like that. First of all, is to realize that my ability to love, my gift to love is exactly that. It's a grace given to me by God. You know, that it's not something that I really own, that I really can choose on my own, but rather it's God's gift to me. You know, that as God has loved me, as God has laid down his life for me, that's exactly what I'm called to do for others. And as I, you know, think about the Lord's love for me, thankfully, it's not based on what I deserve. You know, thankfully, it's not like, well, God's going to love me today because I've been really good. But rather, his love for me is just unconditional. His love for me is just because I'm his son. You know, I think that's the source of our love for others, because it's, you know, it's as old as the scriptures. You know, if you just love those who love you, what merit is there in that? You know, meaning that, you know, we're called to the more. We're called to laying down our lives for one another, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're going to get nothing back from it. You know, and that's how we show our compassion and our charity for others.
And that's tough sometimes. That's really tough sometimes. And it's easy to give up when that love is not what you're feeling coming back. How do you keep going? Exactly. Where's the hope in that?
Well, you know, I think it comes in several ways. You know, I the scripture I always go back to is in the gospel, where the Lord says, you know, it is said to do this, but I say do that. You know, and it's always the Lord calling for the more, you know, more compassion, more charity. And when we look at that scripture, what it says to us is it says it's not simply based on my emotion or my feeling, because God has made a difference in my heart. God has made a difference in my life, which means that as much as I love my emotions and they're a wonderful expression for me, I'm not controlled by them. You know, I don't just love someone because they're going to love me in return. I don't just lay down my life for someone because I'm going to get something back from it. You know, it's like the scriptures say, you know, when you have a banquet, don't just invite those who can invite you back, but rather invite the poor. You know, so love is really, it's a decision that we make every day. You know, and hopefully it's a decision that is so deeply held within our hearts that becomes habitual, that I don't even need to think about it sometimes. I just respond in love because that's what I do. That's who I am. It's part of my DNA. But we're all going to find times in our lives, and ironically, especially with those who are closest to us, to those that we have the strongest bond with, whether it be our spouse, our children, our friends, our other members of our family, whoever it is, they're the ones who can hurt us most deeply, you know, by something that was said or something that was done, or we feel left out of something. It can hurt us deeply because we're so deeply invested in that relationship, you know, and love is so present. So when we have that hurt, that's often when we need to catch ourselves, you know, so that we don't talk about them behind their back, or we don't cut them out of our lives, or we don't give them the cold treatment. But really that we deal with them in love. And really there's two ways of doing that. One is I sort of say, you know, when you said that to me, it really hurt. And you might have realized it, you might not. But I really want to let you know how that made me feel or how I felt slighted or insulted or whatever, and dealing with it straight on. But the other way is to simply say, well, you know, that's the way it is, and I forgive them, and I move on. And often what I encourage people to do is when they're trying to move on, I say, try to, you know, do something for that person. You know, and it could be as simple as a prayer. You know, God, just bless Mary in a special way this day, you know, or you can do an extra act of kindness or something, just as a way of trying to repair that relationship. It's the going beyond, you know, which, of course, always goes back to the cross. It always goes back to, you know, that which the Lord has done for us. As the Lord laid down his life for us, are we not called to do that for one another?
Father Tim, is it just a matter of deciding to do the right thing, deciding to love and look at love less like a feeling, less like a noun, and more like a verb, in that it is action?
I think that's part of it. Part of it is just that decision of the will. But it's also the idea that there are times when I cannot make that decision of the will. I'm just too hurt, or I'm too sad, or whatever. And it's times like that that the temptation is just to give up. You know, well, I can't do anything about this. You know, I simply am so hurt. I'm simply so lost that I can't do anything. And based on your own strength, that's probably true. You know, you don't have whatever it is, the gumption within you to move forward. But it's times like that when we open ourselves up to God's grace. I mean, a wonderful prayer can be, Lord, you know, so-and-so is driving me crazy, and I know I have to interact with them today. Just give me the grace to be at peace with them.
You can use my name, Father Graf. That's okay. You can use my name in that prayer.
Well, everyone knew it anyway. You know, I love the line, you know, you drive me crazy, but fortunately it's a short drive.
Yeah. You know, That's something, but you know, it's interesting. We've been talking about prayer for the last couple of days, and those prayers that are just conversation with God are the most intimate form of prayer. And very often, and I put myself in this camp, you get caught up in the mindset that if it's not formal prayer read word for word, it, quote, doesn't count. When at times I find myself, at least at night prayer, when I'm trying to focus, I'm just saying, no, wait a minute. God's not up there with the clicker doing Our Fathers and Hail Marys. Let me just have a 20-minute conversation with him. And that's the best form of prayer. And that's what we're talking about here in these instances when things may not be going our way.
Exactly. You know, it's not an either or, it's a both and. We have our formal prayer and we have our conversation. You know, and I find my conversation is usually best after my formal prayer because my formal prayer is able to focus me so well, you know, because it's sort of involving all my senses. And so it's that conversation, you know, and it's just that laying out of, you know, what's going on. You know, that's why the prayer, the daily examine, is so important, right, where we serve. Right. Just go over our day with God, the times we were, you know, within God's will and the times we weren't, and asking, saying prayers of gratitude and asking forgiveness. But I think specifically within a difficult relationship, are a difficult situation. You know, the old line, you know, the situation doesn't change, but I do. You know, my heart changes. So all of a sudden I have a deeper patience or a deeper compassion with someone simply because I prayed about it. You know, right. How often have I been quick to judge someone because I don't know the whole story?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I heard the whole story of what the person's going through, I said, oh, you know, why did I judge them so quickly?
Right.
Well, that's also what prayer can do with our heart. You know, it changes us. It softens us, you know, to truly see the other person as God sees them. And it doesn't mean that they change. They could be the same pain in the neck that they've always been. They could be the same complainer that they've always been. And they may change and they may not. But I'm not responsible for that. What I'm responsible for is my response to them.
Absolutely. Father Timothy Graff is with us on this Valentine's Day morning, and we are talking about love, but not in that hallmark sense, love in the sense of the Christian compassion that you and I show to others. We've been talking about interpersonal relationships, but let's widen the shot here a little bit to talk about love when it comes to things that we may not agree with in our lives, things that we may not have control over. We'll talk about that as we continue with Father Graff, 16 after, on Thursday morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, Father Matthew Spencer here. The most successful people have many things in common, but there's one characteristic that almost all innovators and entrepreneurs have that underlie their success. They are almost invariably people of vision. Join me next time on St. Joseph's Workshop as we explore how to have vision in your spiritual life and thus be successful in holiness. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Former abortionist Dr. Bernard Nathanson was the founder of NARAL and basically the abortion movement in America. Later in life, he turned pro-life and Catholic and spent the rest of his life trying to inform America about the truths of abortion and women's health. I'm Sheila Logmanis. Dr. Nathanson entrusted his story to Terry Beatley to tell America, and she takes a closer look at the Catholic strategy in particular. 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
17 after on Valentine's Day. John and Glenn, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, talking about love, but really love in the sense of Christian compassion towards others. Father Timothy Graff, our guest, a member of our morning family. He is the director of the Social Concerns Office in the Archdiocese of Newark. All right, let's go beyond the romantic love and talk about truly loving our neighbor as Jesus does, Father Graff. Issues of immigration, homelessness, the issues that affect us in our communities, in our workplaces. How do we truly love our neighbor as Jesus loves us in those situations? Let's take immigration. It's a hot button issue. People are on both sides of that issue, and they kind of park, at times they can park their faith and lead with their politics. So where's the love there?
Well, that is always the challenge, John. You know, as difficult as it is to love our family, it's much harder to love the stranger. It's much harder to love the person that we don't know. You know, and so often when I'm in conversation with people, whether it be our legislators or our people from my diocese, you know, the challenge that I often present to them is, you know, what would the Lord do within this situation? You know, because we can often, you know, we park ourselves either on the left or on the right. You know, and we say, well, you know, my faith doesn't really affect my political stand, you know, because those are political issues and my faith has nothing to do with politics. Well, what your faith has everything to do with is love, you know, and how is that we love people who are in need, you know, and we can even come to different conclusions about what we need to do within a particular situation or a particular issue. But my greater concern is, how did you get there? What's that based on? And if it's based on love for another, chances are we're going to be in a good place. You know, there may be different approaches to poverty or to immigration, you know, but my first question is always, where's your faith leading you on this? You know, and often the first question is, how is it that we best love and help this person? You know, and often I found what will change people you know, despite my great intelligence and gifts of debate, I may not change a lot of hearts. However, when someone hears the story of someone who's going through poverty or immigration or whatever, that's often what changes someone's heart, or at least widens their vision. Because it's not a statistic. It's not sort of, the, you know, these however many million people were caught in poverty or in lack of education or whatever, but it's John or it's Mary. And when they enter into that conversation, when they get to know them, it's totally different. Because then you have that sense of identity. You have that sense of we're not all that different. You know, and that's often what makes love come alive or makes love easier is getting to know the person and getting, you know, it's not just an issue, but it's a person in my parish. It's a person who lives down the block. It's the person who cuts my lawn. It's the person who bags my groceries or whatever. You know, and often that's what changes hearts and minds.
Father, when we talk about wanting to change hearts and minds, nothing will kill an effort to build a church or just do general evangelization quicker than an unloving attitude of someone, you know, hears that we know a lot and know all the answers and know great theology and know our catechism and know our scripture, but we're not loving to them or others. Nothing kills that effort more quickly, does it?
And people read that in a second. You know, it's there's no greater force that works against the church except its members. You know, it's my lack of love. It's my lack of charity. And people can read that, especially young people. You know, when you're being a hypocrite about something, they pick that up. You know, now at the same time, you know, people could often also use this excuse. You know, one of my standard lines is if you ever find the perfect parish, don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore. You know, it's that part of us that says, you know, well, you know, so-and-so said this or said that. But really what we want to do is we want to look at ourselves, first of all. You know, how is it that I was a witness to God's love today? You know, how is it that in each conversation, in each encounter, in each email, that I allowed my faith to show itself? And where it shows itself mostly is in love. You know, and my ability to say in the most difficult of situations, in the most difficult of issues, you know, did I show God's love to that other person? And it's going to be expressed in all sorts of different ways. But how is it that I brought that, you know, how is it that, you know, the only encounter that a person may have had with God this week was through my conversation with them? You know, which places a great burden on us in a certain sense, but it's also a wonderful opportunity at the same time. You know, and that's the consciousness of that, of knowing that, of being aware of that, might change the conversations that we have today. You know, I might be more loving, I might be more patient.
Yeah, that's a key point, because I think in my examination of conscience, I don't want to speak for all of our Relevant Radio listeners, but I bet a lot of us have been in that same boat when you stop to think about how I was a witness to God's love today. Just superimpose that over what you see on Facebook and doing a snarky comment or sharing a Facebook post or sharing anything that you see on social media that may agree with your viewpoint, but you know is going to set off someone else. I'm obviously not being a witness of God's love in that situation. Is that something I have to take into the confessional?
Well, three of my favorite words are don't hit send.
Should do a t-shirt with that. I bet you make a fortune, Father Graf. Don't hit send. You're right.
Before you post anything, you should pray to your guardian angel and say, is this a good idea?
Right, or send that email.
Because somehow my being snarky is not the first commandment. You know, love God, your neighbor, but you can be snarky as anything.
Right.
You know, it's the, you know, for myself, now, it's different because I'm always right, so that makes it a little easier.
That's right. I keep forgetting that part. You're right, of course.
I'll remind you. Don't worry. You know, I'm very proud of my humility. It's the, I mean, it's we laugh at it, but it's literally, you should stop and say, should I send this or not?
Yeah.
You know, is this going to actually help or hurt? You know, friends of mine will, they'll say, I write letters that I never send. It just feels so good to write them and to get my emotions out, get my ideas out. They said, but I never send them. But it just feels good to get it out. But I know if I send it, it'll just cause more problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's the, again, it's not about you. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my desires. It's not about my looking good. It's not about proving that I'm right. But rather, it's what's the result going to be? Does this bring the person and myself closer to one another and closer to God or not? Because I can prove my point, and it makes me feel good that I prove my point, but the fruit of it is awful. The fruit of it is a broken relationship. The fruit of it is a lack of charity. The fruit of it is a appeared hypocrisy. All those things. You know, it's not about my feeling vindicated. You know, it's about the longer term. And this is really, it's less situational than it is habitual. It's not like, you know, because if I do this once, I'm probably doing it a lot. You know, so we start with the situational. We start with saying, okay, today I did this, this, and this, and this I did well, and this I messed up on, and this I'm not quite sure about. And that's very good. But the more we do that, the more it becomes a habit. So we don't have to stop and think, okay, what's the most loving thing to do within this conversation? It just comes naturally. It becomes, you know, just part of who we are. But that doesn't always come easily. But as we practice it, as we're aware of it, as we pray about it, it becomes more just part of how we react to a situation. You know, like we'll know people that, you know, whenever you cross them, they're going to react in anger. Or whenever you cross someone, they withdraw within themselves. Well, how much better would it be if when we're encountering a friend and they know that if they say something that upsets us, they say, but I know he'll always respond in love and patience. You know, and what a witness that would be, you know, where it just becomes part of who we are and part of that choice that we make to love each day.
Sounds like how you would counsel a couple in this World Marriage Week.
That's true. You know, it's that constant laying down of your life for another. You know, when I'm preparing couples for marriage and they have this romantic view of love, and I'm like, oh, you're in for such a rude awakening when it happens, you know, when life happens, which it does, you right. know, and some of them do fine with it. But it's that constant laying down of your life for another. That's what love is. Again, it brings us back to the cross. You know, it's that sacrificial self-giving, you know, that we just need to do every day. And whenever I get tired of it, look at the cross and say, well, Lord, you did it for us. You yeah. know, how much more we're called to do it for one another.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, yeah, a lot of food for thought there. A lot of food for thought there in this National Marriage Week. This is the last day of National Marriage Week, but of course, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has a number of terrific resources to keep your marriage strong and to focus not only on that sacrifice, but the sacrament of matrimony. I'll share some of those up on our Morning Air Facebook page as we look at living, truly living and loving our neighbor as Jesus loved us. Father Timothy Graff is the director of the Social Concerns Office in the Archdiocese of Newark, New Jersey. Always a great conversation, Father Graff. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy Valentine's Day again, John.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. We've got a Glenn Story Corner, a fresh Glenn Story Corner coming up in the next half hour. Later on this morning, we answer your questions of faith. It's a Morning Air edition of Go Ask Your Father with Monsignor Stuart Swetland. That's all coming up 29 after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.